And we're live. So hi, Dave.
Hey. Happy holidays.
How many weeks late?
Better late than never, I guess.
Yeah. Did you have a good Christmas?
It was fantastic, yeah. Although I was thinking today that it's long enough after the holidays now where it's hard to remember what Christmas was like. Because
yeah.
I think, you know, when you're in the holidays, it's like you're in an alternate universe where, like, for me, I have a bunch of time off work, so nothing is really concrete, and it's a lot more laid back. And now I'm on a regular schedule, and it's like, man, it's like a different planet.
Yeah.
So I miss it.
Good New Year. Go anywhere on New Year's Eve?
Yeah. I went to some friend's house and we had a bit of merriment and.
Nice.
Yeah,
we have.
Good. How about you?
Yeah, great. Every year in the village I live in, there's a bunch of people organize a party. So, what we do.
And you guys get New Year's what? A couple hours before we do. So.
Yeah. So I was tweeting at you from the future.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of freaky. I think my nose just started to bleed thinking about that.
Oh, dear. Do you want to go and get a tissue?
No, I'll be fine.
All right.
So, yeah, gosh, it's been a while since we had our last show, right? I mean, we tried to do one around the holidays. And
yeah.
Well, and what was the one before that?
The one before
November?
That was, yeah, that was, we recorded it on Black Friday. And
Right.
Yeah, and the audio, did I tell you this? The audio quality was bad, so I decided not to put it up. Of the recording.
Oh, why would you tell me that? Of course you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, well, that was the reason. But I've turned up the quality on the QuickTime Broadcaster, so we shouldn't have that problem this week.
Well, good. Boy, lots happened, huh? Since we talked last.
Yeah. Are you getting the Verizon iPhone?
You know, I've done some thinking about this, and I think this is going to be my strategy. I'm going to wait until the next iPhone comes out.
Yeah, smart.
And if my AT&T coverage doesn't get any better by then yes, I'm switching.
That's smart.
And I won't even feel bad about it. You know, I've had a I've had a bad relationship with AT&T, and mostly it's because my area doesn't get 3G. So,
did you see the tweet where somebody said, "I'm an AT&T, I can't give every customer what they want," something like that.
Right.
It was on.
Well, some people, if they get good coverage on their AT&T and they get 3G and everything, and they're happy, then there's really no reason to switch. But for me, for my particular situation where I don't have 3G and the coverage sucks, I can walk into half of my apartment and not get any service.
Yeah.
That's untenable. I just can't put up with that. So the only thing I'm worried about is paying more for my contract, because from what I understand, Verizon is a little bit more expensive.
Mm.
But I'll be able to make phone calls. So maybe,
How common a pay as you go? Deal sorts of things on mobiles over there, or phones?
Well, I'm off contract right now. My contract ran up this past
summer.
But
are you on month-to-month, or are you on some kind of a prepaid plan?
It's not prepaid. It's month-to-month. Right. But I
can you get can you get prepaid plans at all over there?
And I wondered about that, too. Like, if you purchased an unlocked iPhone that wasn't with any carrier, could you do
your friend David in England?
Right. And I don't know how that works. I'm wondering if you can walk up and buy an unlocked iPhone right now and if you pay less on it because you paid full price for the phone, or if the monthly bill was the same.
Yeah, but you can't buy unlocked iPhones where you are. You can only buy them in countries where it's on more than one carrier.
Right.
And even then, in most cases, it's still the case over here that if you buy one from O2, who were the original exclusive carrier on the iPhone, then you still get a locked iPhone from them.
Right.
But if you go to any other carrier, all the Apple Online Store, you get an unlocked one.
Mm-hmm. See, I wonder what would happen if a third carrier became available in the U.S., like T-Mobile or something, and I have my 3G iPhone.
There were rumors about that, actually, shortly after the announcement.
Right.
Because
they said it wasn't exclusive.
Oh, yeah, so. Another announcement in New York. This one's from Sprint.
Hmm. Yeah, see, the Sprint around here is pretty good, too. But Sprint is CDMA, where T-Mobile is GSM. So,
yeah.
You know, my 3G iPhone is only GSM.
Do you get T-Mobile coverage where you are? I guess so.
Yeah, we do. Hmm. And it's not bad. And what I like about T-Mobile is you can get their you can get your home phone service through them, and it's like $10 a month or something. It's just ridiculously cheap. So I've actually been thinking about it. I wouldn't mind switching to T-Mobile. I don't. You know what? It's just nice to have options. Like, it's nice to just think about this and think, well, I have a couple of options.
Mm.
See, where you guys have had that for what, a couple years now?
Yeah, I think since the 3GS launched.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, AT&T might be out of business if Apple had multiple carriers on the first one, but I don't know. I just know in my particular situation, like, not, you know, I go 30 miles east of me and I get 3G, but I, you know, Jackson, and I've complained about this on this show before, but it just boggles my mind that a metropolitan area like Jackson, Michigan doesn't have 3G service. Mm-hmm. When Verizon has it everywhere. I mean, it's just everywhere. And there are some days where I'll try to load something on my iPhone and it won't even load because the connection is so slow and there's so many people on it.
That's bad.
Yeah. Well, so now I wonder, you know, what the iPhone 5 is going to be like. And
yeah, because my dad's iPhone contract expires in February. So I've been trying to get to him, you know, wait until August, wait until the new one comes out, because there'll be all the new stuff.
Right. And my philosophy is I've waited this long, you know, since the iPhone 4 came out. What's another couple months, you know? And it's not like I'm crippled by my 3G. You know, I will say that the last couple of software updates have helped out a lot with their performance and stuff. I really haven't had any complaints. So I can keep my phone for another 5-6 months, you know, and then just wait till the new one comes out.
Mm.
What's funny is that when the iPhone 4 came out, I went to the Apple store cash in hand and said, you know, am I eligible for this? And they said yes. And I said, okay, I want one. Go back in the storeroom and grab me one. And they said, oh no, we're sold out. So I could have had one. You know, I was this close to getting one, but the Apple Store just didn't have one.
Right.
So maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'll probably get the iPhone 5 as well because my iPhone 3G will be 3 years old then.
Right. And you got yours when it was the older model, right?
No, I got it when it was still the newest one, but I got like 6 months after it came out.
I see. Was it your dad that got the older one then?
No, my dad has a 3GS. He got that. He got an iPhone after me.
Gotcha. Well, I know a couple of my friends have purchased the older model. You know, so I had a friend who bought the 3GS when the iPhone 4 came out, just because she liked the lower price. So that kind of stuff does work, you know.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
But now I'm starting to lust after the iPhone 4 camera. Like, just having that nicer camera around with me would be...
Yeah, really, that would be killer.
I mean, even to focus, that would be nice. Mine doesn't even focus.
Yeah, mine neither.
Yep.
Although, pity the poor people with iPod Touches with cameras even worse than the original iPhone.
Right. Most poor saps. But, I don't know, I always equate the iPod Touch with teenagers. You know, that's what they...
Yeah.
Or people who work, you know, they go to the gym and that's their iPod. That's how I think of it.
Mm.
Well, yeah, I joined. I did the Instagram thing. Have you played around with Instagram?
Yeah, I have. If I wasn't using my iPhone Skype, the iPhone Skype app as part of this, I would probably be, stop following you. But unfortunately, that would mean ending this call.
Right. No, but I really like it. I like it.
Yeah, it's great.
A lot of fun, and it's just cool how you can take normal things and apply the silly Polaroid filters to them, and yeah. I don't know, it makes them look like they were taken in the 60s or something.
Yeah,
it's fun. And of course, my first picture with Instagram was my e-mate.
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought that was only appropriate. So, but now I see all everybody's. Yeah, that's what makes me long for the iPhone 4 cameras. That I see people's great shots on their Instagram account. Now, I think, man, they must have one of the new iPhones then, because that's a good looking shot, sharp, focused.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Tech sharp.
What about you? Have you got any new toys lately to play with?
No, not really. Yeah.
Me neither. I dumped a couple of my older Macs. I've just got the Power Mac G3 now, and
is that all?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, I that's the one I use mostly. I've still got yeah, I say that, but I've still got my iBook G4 and iBook G3. But I either gave away the rest of them or recycled them. So.
Wow.
Conscience is clear. So I've kind of been struggling to figure out some stuff to write for Newton Poetry here lately.
Yeah.
And luckily there's been a few things happening in the Newton world, but
Yeah.
It's like writing about the Amiga. There's just not a whole bunch that happens with it. Newsworthy.
Mm.
How about the Mac App Store? Have you got a chance to play around with that?
Yeah, I got a couple apps. I got the Incident app.
Okay.
And the Twitter for Mac.
Hmm.
I haven't got anything else of it.
Man, to hear people harp on that thing, I'm going to keep my Tweety, I think.
You're going to keep using the original Tweety?
Yep.
Why?
Because it works just fine. I'm just going to leave it alone. All I heard, on Twitter and everywhere else was just people complain about it. Just they couldn't believe how weird it was and how different it was. And
well, I think it's a fantastic app, but it's effectively because it seems to me to be a rewrite from scratch with a fairly similar interface. It's almost like it's back in 1.0 territory in terms of, things that people just find a bit annoying or
right.
Niggling. And these things will, probably quickly get fixed over time.
Well, so what makes it better than Tweety? Why should I upgrade?
Native retweets.
Okay.
That's the...
Yeah, but I still don't like the retweet thing.
You still don't like native retweets?
No, not really.
Why not?
I don't know. It's just weird. Mm-hmm. I'd rather hear you retweeting something than the appearance of someone else just kind of appearing in my Twitter stream. It's like an endorsement. And I always have to look, okay, so here's this person that I've never heard of in my stream. Who's the jerk that retweeted them? And then I unfollow them to make them pay. It's very passive-aggressive. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. No, never forgotten.
You've been drinking again, haven't you?
No, actually, no.
Man, have we talked since I got my new toy, my Canon?
No, you. We talked about how you were going to get it last...
Because Black Friday was the day I bought it.
The missing Black Friday episode.
Right. The mysterious... The lost episode.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I took the plunge and bought the Canon T1i, which was last year's top Canon consumer level DSLR. So
you know, it's not quite in the 7D range, but it's, or the 7, or what is it now, 6D range, but it's one of the Rebels. But it was the top Rebel when it came out, but now it's been eclipsed by the T2i. But I love it. It was great. I took it to Chicago a week before Christmas and just had a ball with it, with my friend John. You know, we went downtown Chicago just to go shoot pictures, and it was a hoot. It was a blast.
Great.
I love it. So now I'm trying to think of all these little photo projects I want to do.
Speaking of going downtown, there is a perhaps one in 50, 70 chance of me going to the South by Southwest this year.
No kidding.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. There's a hack day coming up in which the prize is one of those, a trip there. So.
So you have to win the trip?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah. So in theory, I wouldn't mind paying however much it is for a ticket to the actual conference, but then to add on the cost of flights and hotels. Right. And
so and you can get
it basically adds well. Up to the price of a brand new Mac just to go to South by Southwest.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I spend a ton on travel each year, so.
Hmm.
But yeah, if you could win the trip.
Yeah.
That would be stellar. When is South by Southwest? March?
March, yeah. March 10th to 20th, I think. Something like that this year.
Okay. Well, the 10th is a Thursday.
Well, yeah, it lasts sort of... Well, because there's three conferences. There's the interactive conference, the film conference, and the music conference.
I see.
So some of them intersect, and then... Is maybe the music ones after the others or something like that?
Right. So what, you would only go down there for the first weekend or something?
Or well, would you be there the whole time? I don't know.
Yeah, we should get the band together. We should get some people to fly down there and meet up. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, Splop's gonna be there.
Well, see, there's somebody. We get all our classic Mac Twitter buddies on there. That's how I think of it. You know, there was a couple months ago when I proposed the idea that we should have, you know, this classic Mac classic, Expo or something.
Classic
like
Mac Con.
Right, right. And you were going to have us meet in Rio de Janeiro.
That was Mark's idea. Ricardo.
Oh, okay. Yep. Because it was triangulated or something like that. It was equidistant from everybody. And, you know, Rio, I'm sure, is a lovely town. I would go there in a heartbeat. So,
yeah.
Well, maybe that could be it. We could all do South by Southwest. Open up our own conference hall and just, you know, everybody brings their Mac SE and PowerBook 100.
Mm. We would need AAU ports built into the walls.
Right.
Instead of RJ45s.
Get some Apple Talk set up.
Yeah.
That'd be a hoot. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind driving down there. I would need probably 2 days to get down there, but if I left on, you know, Thursday night or something, I could be down there by Saturday.
Yeah.
I have to check flight prices or something, but I thought about going down to that. I mean, it always seems like it's a good time, and you know, very important people seem to be down there.
But I was looking at the sessions list. Looks like some interesting ones this year. Like Gruber. Gruber is appearing in... It seems like his only appearance is in one done by Michael Lopp, where he, Jim Koodle, and Gruber each get the same deck of 15 slides, but they have to give a different presentation with that deck.
It's like a game show.
Well, yeah, but it's... No, that's Battletech, so where they get the random slides and they have to put a presentation together. But this is... That, look, their goal here, they know what the slides are in advance. They've got to prepare something It's different to what the others are doing.
Right. So it's more like debate team or something.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you speak publicly often? Do you get a chance to talk in front of groups or anything?
Yeah, probably not as often as you, because you're in the Rotary. But, yeah, I speak relatively often. Mm. Since I went to the Bar Camp Manchester, have you heard of the Bar Camps?
Right, yep.
Yeah, I gave 2 talks there, and I'd like to go again, so...
I heard something interesting, and from my own experience, I think it's true. It might have been in the Atlantic or something like that, but it was how to care for your introvert. So an introvert, you know, is somebody who doesn't relate social and, you know, very touchy-feely, whatever. But they apparently, introverts do really well in big public speaking engagements.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're talking to a crowd of 1,000, they do just fine. But if they talk in front of a crowd of 5 people, you know, it's almost impossible.
Hmm.
And I feel the exact same way. I think that nails me to a T. I can talk to a big arena full of people. I mean, just like yesterday morning, I spoke to our entire company, which is about 150 people, and I love it. I love to do it. It's a lot of fun for me. But you get me in front of like 4 or 5 people, or you know, even 2 people or 10 people, it's so hard. It's so hard, and I don't know what the difference is.
Mm.
Maybe it's intimacy or something. You know, they can ask questions, and it's more like a conversation where 100 people sitting there, they just kind of have to sit and listen.
Yeah, if there's the remotest chance they might challenge you on something,
right? And Jesus. You know, nobody wants
that. Just going back to bar camp, both of them. Well, one of them in particular, I gave a talk on the CouchDB, which is the database that powers Frontispiece, and a bunch of other things. And the first of all, there were about 15-20 people in the room, and it was just. The front two rows were about the worst front two rows you could possibly hope to have for a talk. They were incredibly hostile.
What do you mean? Like they gave you dirty looks?
Well, it was getting a bit heated.
Oh, the discussion?
Yeah.
So you just had to be tough.
I think it's because of. Do you listen to the Marco Arments show on the 5x5?
I've caught 2 episodes of that. So far.
Yeah, did you hear the conversation where he compared geeks' intellect to the effect of going through being the smart kid in school and then coming to college and finding that you're not the smart kid anymore, and so suddenly you've got to... Yeah, I think it was more that than... because people are having their, you know, basically how web applications have worked for the last... 15 years has been on SQL databases, and then CouchDB doesn't use SQL at all. Mm-hmm. So it's basically just challenging the entire way they think.
Everything you've been doing for the past decade is wrong.
Well, not wrong, but certainly. There are disadvantages and advantages. So,
well, and if you're like that, if you're one of those people that has to be one of the best... You know, you've got that drive in you, and you find out that there are people that are smarter and faster than you are. I think that's good for you. It's a good challenge.
Yeah,
makes you learn something. I mean, wait, you know, that was one of the things in college when I got there. For the first time in my life, I actually had to study for something to do well. You know, in high school, it wasn't very hard, but in college, I mean, my geology class, it almost killed me. How much I studied for that thing. But man, you know, I don't regret a bit of it. It was good for me. Speaking of geology, what do you think about this Google H.264 thing? Do you know anything about video codecs or whatever?
I thought you were going to do a clever segue then. Speaking of geology, have you heard about this Google dot, dot, dot? And then how is geology related to H.264?
You haven't answered my question. Do you know anything about video codecs or anything?
Well, I know that Google are trying to do something which isn't going to work out.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of not knowing much. Oh, did you?
Yeah, but it's questionable whether I'm actually going to finish it. So.
Just fleshing out some thoughts.
Yeah. But I did express it on the Twitter. I'll just
right. Pull it up. I saw a couple of those.
Yeah. Attempts made by individuals or a single group to force adoptions of particular standards tend to fail. The masses always have the final word. So with Google's attempt to force adoption of Theora or WebM, Chrome users will be served Flash instead, for which no re-encoding is needed, because you can just serve H.264 in a Flash container.
Right. That's the part that boggles my mind, and it's something that I've struggled with since I've started to do video and things like that, is that there's video, and then there's whatever stuff the video is encoded in.
Mm.
Is that right? I mean, it's like the video, but the video is wrapped in something and delivered to you.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I struggle with, like which... It's, you know, whenever I convert video from something to something else, it's always, I always seem to get it wrong because I never get I never get what's wrapping what or whatever.
Yeah, it is confusing. Yeah.
Because you've got MPEG, you've got MP4, you've got H.264.
And some of these things are different names for the same thing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know.
I'd rather just avoid video altogether.
Yeah. I just hit transcode and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I come back an hour later when the things...
Speaking of encoding and transcoding, this is actually going to be related to this. When you say you told me in the past that you usually buy CDs and rip them into iTunes instead of getting them off the iTunes store.
Right.
Right. Do you use the iTunes default settings for that?
I think I bumped up the quality a little bit.
Yeah, I rip them all up to 320K.
Right.
Which is past the point of diminishing returns, wherein if you encode something at 128K, it sounds more than twice as good as if you encode it at 64K. But if you encode it at 256, it doesn't sound twice as good as if you'd encoded it at 128.
Huh.
So it's past that kind of, you know, the point of diminishing returns. But I figured that for the small amount of extra space between 256 and 320, I may as well just use that.
Right.
And get the extra quality.
No, it looks like I'm using 256. That's what I've got it set as.
But if I buy it from the iTunes store, which is, you know, I'd say roughly 2/3 of the music I get is from the iTunes store.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get the 256. Because that's
why do you only get it there?
Well,
or is that the only option?
Yeah, they don't. They
okay,
don't.
That's what I figured. But I do notice that when, like, sometimes I find MP3s, you know, around and download them, and they're only at, you know, 96 or 128 or something like that. And I do notice how awful they sound.
Well, 128 isn't bad.
Right. But you go down to 96 or, you know, God forbid, even 64, then you might as well be listening through a tin can or something. Or aluminum can. They're aluminum now, right? They're not tin anymore.
Yeah. Because all the Cornish tin lines closed down.
Is that right?
No. That's just a British-centric view of the world.
Ah, I see. How about that? Well, so the Mac App Store, I downloaded it, and I've kind of browsed through it. And the one, and I think I wrote about this on Monday, was, you know, the one thing I'm thinking about is aperture, now that I have a nicer camera.
Yeah, I've been actually considering that.
Man, what a savings. It just blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, I think what they've done is they've just subtracted the cut that usually goes to, if you buy it from, say, you know, Amazon or Best Buy, the cut that Amazon or Best Buy get, which is, I guess, about 40 or something percent, plus what they consider to be their packaging, which is since, you know, probably since the Mac OS X public beta when it was free, free meaning you had to pay for postage and packaging, I think they've always charged $20 postage and packaging. So if you take $20 off the price of boxed aperture, then take about 40% off, then it works out to the price in the App Store.
Well, when I was in Chicago, I actually thought about snagging a copy of Aperture because we went to a couple of Apple stores over there.
Yeah, nice.
And it's packaged lovely. I mean, it's just, you know, it's Apple does always a nice job of packaging their software.
But it's not really worth it
But that's what I'm wondering. Like you said, I'm the guy that likes to hold it in my hand and to have a backup copy on hand. But I guess if I buy it through the Mac,
just burn it to a CD.
Right. But then, you know, but can you do that?
Yeah, you can do it.
Oh,
the Aperture Bath and the App Store are just the same. They're DRM encoded, but they and HFS compressed, but they're exactly the same as ordinary Mac apps.
Hmm.
Oh yeah, and they also belong to Root as well, which is a bit odd. But if you want me to, I shall find a recordable CD and do it now. I shall put, you know,
right here on this show. Like right today, right now?
No, because I don't have a recordable CD to hand, but I assure you it can be done. See? I see no technical reason why it can't be done.
Huh. So what would you do? You'd have to go find the the original file that the Mac App Store downloads? Because it unpackages everything.
Well, no, but it's just the .app bundle.
And you just throw that on a CD?
Well, I'm 90% certain that'll do it, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's not that crazy when you consider that Mac apps have worked like that since 1984.
That's true. You know, don't tell Microsoft this, but sometimes I'll take old copies of Microsoft Office for Mac and just throw them on a CD and then give them to people so that they, you know, you just drop it in your applications folder and it works fine.
Yeah, I don't care. The old version, you know, what are they going to do?
Right. Yeah, this is, you know, Office X, whatever that means.
Office 10, the first version that was OS 10 native.
Right. I mean, that works perfectly. And I had wondered, because Microsoft makes you jump through, you know, an installation app and a whole bunch of hoops just to install the stupid thing. And I wonder how much of that is just totally unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, iLife, you know, they've just, they put a stupid install on it, and on the App Store, it's just separate apps.
Right.
Easy.
Man. See, isn't Apple great? They make it easy to steal from Microsoft.
That's going on Twitter.
I mean, you can't ask for any more than that. It's just wonderful. So maybe that's what I'll do. You've set the course for me. I'll download Aperture from the Mac app, and you know it'll give me a chance to try the Mac App Store, number one, and number two, pay half price for Aperture. Because I'd much rather pay $80 than $200. And that's what else I wondered was if it's on the Mac App Store and the Mac App Store doesn't allow you to trial software. But then you go on Apple.com and you look for Aperture and they still let you do the 30-day trial.
Yeah.
So it's like they're treating Aperture as a separate entity and also on the Mac App Store.
Hmm.
So the Panic stuff, if you could download it from their website and the Mac App Store, you can still get the trial through the Panic website.
Yeah. I think it's annoying that all the apps I want or need I've already bought. So I can't get into the Mac App Store.
Right. But there are some that I've kind of been waiting on. Like, I've been thinking about buying Coda, but, you know, maybe now is the time to do it since it's up there. Mm. And it'll auto-update and everything.
Yeah, I still haven't bought Coda either.
I think I would like it. Maybe I should just do the 30-day trial.
Yeah, but it's not BB Edit.
Right.
And I have an unhealthy obsession with that particular text.
But then you know, any company that makes an application like Transmit, you trust implicitly.
Mm.
You know, how could they make anything bad if they make something as wonderful as Transmit? Especially this latest version. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
But anyway, I haven't downloaded anything from the Mac App Store just yet. I've kind of been waiting. No, nothing. Not a thing.
Nothing? Not even a free one?
No. Well, you know, they had Text Wrangler up there, my favorite, but I've already got it, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess since it's free, you could just, you know, drag your old Text Wrangler to the trash and download a new one.
Right. But, you know, they've only got 1,000 apps up there right now, so I can just wait and, you know, maybe something will come along. They're going to do sales, I'm sure, like the iPhone App Store does. So I can wait for a sale to buy something. I'm a frugal man, David. I'm, you know.
Mm.
You have to think about these things.
Speaking of HD64, doing fine.
We were just talking about that, weren't we?
Yeah, Gruber just posted an article about it. It's about 1,500 words.
Good. Well, I saw it show up in the Twitter stream.
Because you follow the... You know, I don't actually follow that. I just get it through RSS.
Hmm. See, I don't do RSS.
With you don't?
No, I'd rather go see the website with that one. I mean, there's a lot of blogs that I follow that I do RSS on, but Daring Fireball is not one of them. I'd rather go to the website and see it. I'm old-fashioned like that.
Yeah, it's 1,500 words long.
Did you do a word count?
Yep.
Nice. Speaking of word count, I went to a Microsoft store in Chicago.
God, you're getting worse at these segues, Dave.
You know, Microsoft makes Word. Word has word count. This totally fits. Totally fits. But yeah, the Microsoft store, get this, David, get this. You walk into the Microsoft store and they've got computers everywhere. But, usually they're just like from three main people. It's like Samsung, Sony, HP, I think, and that's about it. Mm. So I got a chance to play with some Windows 7 phones, which are very nice. They're very nice phones. And I got a chance to play with some PCs, some of which are actually decent looking, and you know, but they don't have any Zunes in the Microsoft store.
Dun, dun, dun,
it blew my mind. It's crazy. Like here they are trying to.
Well,
yeah,
I think
I've
pretty much given up on that.
Well, I guess. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, because they've got Xbox, they've got the phones, they've got the PCs, no Zunes. I wanted to play with one. I wanted to pick one up and
yeah, still haven't. You know, 4 years after seeing them, they were introduced, I've still not even seen one.
Yeah. And here I go into the store where you would find one to play with one, and they don't even have them. It's just insane. What they did have was an 11-pound Alienware laptop that got
11 like pounds.
11 pounds. I mean, it's not a laptop. It's a software's touch, or I don't know. It's just crazy. But then the battery life on it was like an hour and a half. I mean, it was built like a racing car with all these weird glowing lights and vents and things like that. But you can't lift it. You can't take it anywhere. And if you unplug it, you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
It boggled my mind. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, this is why Apple doesn't try and cover every market niche.
Right. Well, and hey, if you want to take their laptop, it'll last you 10 hours, you know? I mean, who doesn't want that? I mean, I can only, if you set that Alienware laptop in your lap, you wouldn't have a lap. Not only would it burn a hole in your lap, but it would collapse, you know, your femurs on your legs or something. I mean, you'd be crippled.
Hmm. Alienware, the original MacBook Pros were like that as well.
Right.
There were like reports of them running at 100 degrees C or whatever. Right.
But 11 pounds? I mean, that puts you in the hospital if you put that on your lap.
Mm.
And then it's, you know, it's got all these esoteric lights and knobs, and I just didn't even know what to do with it. I feared the thing. It made me nervous. And Alienware's by Dell now, isn't it? Aren't they owned by Dell now?
Yeah.
So that just ups the evil ante even more.
Mm.
It made me uncomfortable, David. I just felt dirty. But the store, I mean, you know, the store is very nice. It's very Apple-like. It doesn't have the sterility of an Apple store. I mean, there was...
Well, of course not now.
Right. But it seemed like you would go in there and find every kind of PC.
How many people were there in there?
Well, I took some photos, and it was surprising because the Apple store was maybe a block away from the Microsoft store. And you go into the Microsoft store, and you walk around, you play with things. And this is a week before Christmas, mind you. There's plenty of space to walk around. The people that work there just kind of chatting with people. You walk into the Apple store, you can't move. You cannot get from the front of that store to the back of the store without injuring somebody or yourself.
If you want to buy something in the Apple store.
Seriously. And then, and I took a picture of this too, they've got a whole line, a shelf on a wall lined up with like iPads and iPhones and iPods and stuff like that. And there was like a guard sitting there. And so if you wanted an iPad, you walked up to the guy and said, "Hey, I want an iPad." And he hands it to you. Like it's very industrial.
Yeah.
You know, but you couldn't move in that store. I mean, it was just crazy how many people were in there.
Yeah. When I bought my iPad, it was early November, so it wasn't at all crowded, but not seasonally crowded is what I meant to say, but it was clearly a busy time of day for them.
Right.
And I was within, you know, I was within a minute more of looking for an Apple guy who wasn't busy for going back, walking about, you know, 15 yards across the shopping center and going to, you know, another store and buying it there.
Right. Yeah, they're busy.
They are.
You know, and I don't know if you noticed this when you went to your Apple store, but it's something I noticed is that right around the turn of the century, Apple used they went from the rainbow Apple logo to like a red, the aqua red logo.
Yeah.
And then that went away for a while, but now it's back.
Is it?
Well, I noticed that in every Apple store that I went into, everything...
It's still used on AppleCare.
Yes. But it's that Apple, but it's everywhere. It was all over their stores. And...
I know the one you mean, yeah. I think that was just because it was Christmas and it was red as a festive color.
I think you're right, yeah. Because all the headlines were red. You know, all the Apple reps were wearing red T-shirts. It was really noticeable because usually they go for cooler colors like blues or, you know, blacks or something like that, gray. But to see red everywhere, it was pretty striking.
Mm.
Yeah, I had that thought too. Maybe it's just for Christmas and they want to look like Santa Claus or something. Santa Steve. But the downtown Chicago Apple store, it's one of my favorites. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous place.
Yeah.
Right on Michigan Ave. And that one was busy. I mean, you could walk around in there, but it was still busy.
Yeah. The iOS 4.3 looks cool. For everybody except iPhone 3G owners.
Right. Really? It won't be... I can't get it? We can't get it?
No, we can get it, but it doesn't look like anything they've introduced.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's mostly iPad stuff and gesture stuff and...
Yeah, I think we can still get it. I'll just check.
I hope so. Have you been enjoying your iPad? Have you been?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it's. I can't think of anything really terrible to say about it.
Do you use it more often than, say, your Macs? Are
probably.
You on it?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah. I hardly ever sit down and read, you know, long prose, like long form prose, like Daring Fireball prose posts in terms of the Mac anymore. I usually drop them in Instapaper or use that little Mac to iPhone Safari script I wrote to transfer them over and read them on the iPad.
Right. That's interesting. I'm using, every once in a while I'll think of circumstances where, boy, wouldn't it be nice if I had an iPhone 4? And reading is kind of one of those where I wish I could switch between apps and copy and paste and stuff like that a little bit easier.
iOS 4.3 beta. I'm down. Well, it doesn't look like the beta is available for the 3G. But maybe that's just because of the beta.
The phone would explode if you put it on there. And if you have an original iPhone, you can't even get 4. Wasn't that the case?
No, you can't even get 4.
That's too bad. Well, so upcoming, we should be hearing, what do you think, something about the next iPad here pretty soon? The next month or so, at least?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. It does. It looks like this is Mac Rumors reporting on no betas. It says consequently, it appears Apple will no longer be supporting the iPhone 3G and second generation iPod Touch with operating system updates.
So we can't get it.
That stinks.
This is it.
See, that surprises me because older sister is one of them with iPhone 3Gs that are less than, you know, a year old.
Like when the 3GS was out.
Yeah, when the 3GS was out and it was the cheapest. Right. $99.
Which is smart. I mean, if you just want an iPhone and you don't want to pay very much for it, that's... So then this year, the iPhone 4 will be the $99 one. And that's just crazy. That's...
Yeah, probably.
I mean, that's what they've been doing.
Well, yeah. We don't get the... Because we buy them... If you go to the Apple online store over here, you'll get the you don't get any carrier subsidy on it, but equally you don't get any carrier on it, so it's unlocked.
Right. Man, it's a whole different world.
It is. It is. I mean, can't think of a situation from Apple's history in which the differences between countries have been so, especially.
It's better overseas.
Yeah, especially a situation where it's better outside America.
Right. But I don't blame Apple for that. I blame our carrier system. I mean, it's just so draconian here in America that if you want to put a phone out, that's the way you do it. You got to work through these jerks. And really, we've got 4 major phone carriers and we've got a bunch of little regional ones. But that's it. You've just got 4 to choose from.
Yeah.
And if you've only got one type of phone, like GSM or CDMA, then you've really only got 2 choices. You know, I've got AT&T and T-Mobile, and that's it for my phone. If I could get it unlocked or whatever. And the one T-Mobile, is way smaller than AT&T.
What you should do is you should arrange a holiday over here. Then while you're over here, go into an O2 store. Well, it would have to be O2. Buy a prepay, pay-as-you-go SIM card. Put it in your iPhone. Then use O2's iPhone unlock service to unlock your iPhone. So you can go on T-Mobile or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like how you guys call vacations holidays. I like that better.
Yeah.
I'm going on holiday.
Yeah.
And this Christmas, I did the Happy Christmas thing instead of Merry Christmas.
Oh, I prefer Merry Christmas.
Really? Well, yeah. In America, you get some really weird looks if you say Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, people don't know quite how to react. It's so ingrained in our culture. It's almost automatic that you just say Merry Christmas.
Merry New Year.
Merry Thanksgiving. Merry Hanukkah. No, there's a Mad Men episode where you know, the British guy working in the office, he pretty much just quits his job, and he says, "Oh, and Happy Christmas." And I thought, man, that is such a great line. I'm going to use that this Christmas. So I did. And I only got beat up once. Speaking of TV shows, do you ever watch Battlestar Galactica?
It was a segue that worked. No, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Okay, just curious.
Probably start fully. Yeah. Now, is that more of a series or a serial? Like, could I pick it up if I just started watching it now? Or
no, it's more of a series. Well, it's off the air now.
Go back to episode one and start over. Yeah. If I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah. It's off the air now, so it ended after season four, I think.
All right.
So I went back to season one and just started watching it from there, and I'm hooked. Like, I haven't seen any movies in the past couple of weeks because I just watch a couple of episodes of Battlestar Galactica end to end, and that's my movie for the night. It's a fantastic show. But they did this weird thing where the miniseries that kicks off the whole thing, it's like a 3-hour intro. It's like a movie. You know, the lead episodes of Battlestar Galactica is like a movie. Yeah. And you can't get them included in the first season of the TV show. You have to rent or buy them separately. And then if you pick up in the TV series on season one, it's actually episode three that you start on. Because episode one and two are considered the miniseries and they're treated differently. It's really weird. So Amazon Video over Christmas, they gave, you know, $5 if you retweeted something. So I sold my soul for one tweet just so I could watch Battlestar Galactica's miniseries.
Yeah, I saw that.
Sometimes you have to do these things, David, you know?
Mm.
I'm not ashamed. Speaking of shame, we should, you got anything else to talk about?
Are you suggesting something?
No, not at all. I'm just trying to make a decent segue.
No, I don't think.
Well, it's good. It's good we're back. I feel better after our extended hiatus.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a long time. Our fans are worrying. I mean, I get letters, you know, every day. From people who are worried that you're not doing well, and I tell them, well, you're getting over it. You're feeling better.
Yeah. Yeah, our last episode released before this was 9th of November.
That's crazy. That's 2 months.
Yeah.
So, but you're feeling better. You're back in tip-top shape.
Yeah.
So all's right with the world.
What's all right,
sir. Well, until next time, then.
What's going on over there? Yeah, is the window blown open? Is your snowstorm blowing in?
Yes, actually, we have a big snowstorm coming in, and so my heater has been running almost nonstop.
Yeah, I read today that every state in the U.S. currently has snow in it.
Yep. It's insane.
Yeah.
Well, we trek on.
Yeah.
The podcast goes on, David.
Yep.
There's no stopping us. All right. I'm going to go make my dinner.
All right. See you next week.
Oh, speaking of dinner, we should do this again.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.